It's getting light out. Have you noticed that? It was nice to see the. My wife got me a little these two little lights. And they're really nice. I don't know if they're LEDs or something. Little square things, and you just push them, and it's really bright light. And a lot of times on the way down, I'll ask Judah to read for me from the scriptures, and. So anyhow, it's been so dark he can't see, but I said, hey, Judah, get that little light. So he does, but he has to put it under, you know, with his briefcase opened up so that it doesn't reflect on me, you know, in driving. And I'll tell you what, I drive by faith, man. The lights on that car are not good. You know, some of the newer lights, they've got plastic lenses on them. And boy, those cotton pickers, they fog up or they whatever they do, and you can't get them. Well, I guess you can get them clean. I haven't done it yet. Of course, by the time I get it done, it'll be summertime, and you know, anyhow. But seriously, Jen says, Jack, how's it going? I says, well, I said, it's great, but I said, a lot of times I feel like I'm driving by Braille. I'm serious, because the lights are so bad. But, man, I thank the Lord. He's kept us safe. I mean, the roads have been good, moose-free. We saw a moose on the side of the road today, just eating. But I'm just saying, that's God's grace. It's certainly not because I can really see what's going on, you know. So, anyhow. But we got to have the light, don't we? And like Mike was just saying there with that young boy. And men love what? Darkness. Yeah. Why? Because their deeds are evil, right? And they think that the darkness hides them from who? From God. Yeah, isn't that crazy? But that is the way that people think. But thank God that He not only sees in the darkness, He knows. And like it says there in Psalm 139, the darkness and the light are what? They're both alike to God. Darkness hides nothing from Him. And He knows not only the things He sees, the things that are not only visible, but He sees in our hearts. He knows everything about us. He knows the thoughts before we think them. He knows the deeds before we do them. He knows the words before we say them. That's the God to whom every one of us must give account. And you know what that does to me? And I'm sure it does to you too. It drives me to praise for the blood of Christ that has cleansed me from what? All unrighteousness. How could we stand before an omniscient God and hope that my good works outweigh my bad works? That's ridiculous. And especially when you consider who we are in Adam. We can't do good. And we don't want to do good. That's the damning part of it. Like that young boy there, right? He didn't want to know God. Well, you know what? You and I wouldn't either had God not wanted us. You know, and God is better than Sherlock Holmes. I mean, God always gets His man. You know, He always does. I don't know if Sherlock Holmes did, but God always does. And anyhow, well, let's pray, all right? And then we'll look into the Word of God. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your amazing love to us. For us and Your grace to us, we pray now that Your Spirit would enlighten our understanding. We need Him to give us understanding, and then, Father, not just to know and understand Your Word, but to know and understand You, that we would know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. And that is eternal life. And, Father, You've given eternal life to us, and we pray that we would grow in our knowledge of You and of Your Son. And Father, we pray now that You would have Your Spirit to work in us, that He would take His sword, His Word, Your Word, and apply it to our hearts and our minds, so that we are not any longer conformed to this world, but that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And, Father, that happens only by Your Spirit using His Word. Sanctify us by Your truth. Your word is truth. So, Father, deliver us from the things that we believe that are not true, and make us holy. Sanctify us. Set us apart. Make us like Jesus through your truth. And we ask these things with praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look, if you would, please, excuse me, in your Bibles to John chapter 9. And we're continuing here in our on the healing of the blind man and his discussion with the religious leaders who were darkness and love the darkness. And just like the young boy that Mike was talking about, he didn't want to know God. And that was the same condition as these religious leaders. They didn't want to know God either. They professed to know him, and they would say that they loved him. But when he came, when God the Son came, whom they professed to know and whom they professed to look for, when he came, they hid from him. They denied that he was God, even though everything that he said and did demonstrated that he was God. All right. So that's, let's look down then to John chapter 9 and look, if you would, please. Well, let's just look at verse 24. We'll start there. All right. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." This was an obvious work of God. And yet they denied. Well, let's just read on down. All right. Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you did not hear. Therefore, would you hear it again?" Or why? Excuse me. Why would you hear it again? "Will you also be his disciples?" Now he's getting a little. Yes, that's it. Yes. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, him God hears. Since the world began, it was not heard that anyone opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Okay? Let's just stop and look at these. We left off with about verse 29, and I want us to go back and look at that. Notice, now these guys were religious leaders. They studied the Old Testament. They memorized it. But as we've seen, their problem was is that they didn't believe it. And the reason why they didn't believe what Moses wrote was because they were spiritually dead. See, who we are, again, and I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, but it's what the whole Bible teaches. Who we are determines what we do or what we don't do. And that was the problem. These were religious people, but they were lost. They did not have God. And as we saw in John chapter 3, they needed to be born again. And people say, well, that was before the cross. Yes, exactly right. Nicodemus was before the cross. In other words, the work of regeneration took place before Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, in the Old Testament, and a lot of people would disagree with that, but I find, how could people in the Old Testament do right? How could they believe God? how could they do godly things without the Holy Spirit living in them? Now, he did come upon people for special things. Here's a thought that I was thinking the other day. Saul, King Saul and King David. All right. The Bible says, tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. And Saul, and he came upon Saul for what purpose? To enable him to rule Israel. It was a special purpose. And then we read where God took the Holy Spirit from Saul. Now let me ask you. Did Saul lose his salvation? No, he did not. Here's another question I'd like to ask. Was Saul regenerate? I don't believe he was. I think he was, the Holy Spirit came upon him so that he could be the king. But then he sinned. He didn't believe God. He disobeyed God horribly. And then God took his Holy Spirit from him. Now, if you're going to say that Saul lost his salvation, then we've got some real problems. Because that presupposes that there was something he did to get it, and he disobeyed, so he lost it. You know what that does to salvation? It makes it a work of man. And you see, that's the thing. If our salvation is anything to do with us, then there is no assurance in it. But God took the Holy Spirit from Saul, not in the sense of his salvation, because I don't believe he ever had it. He was never regenerated. David was regenerate. And the Holy Spirit came on David in a special way, too. But that's what I want us to think about here. So these guys were not regenerate. They were darkness. They were without God. And because of that, here came God. God and the Son in a body, and they didn't understand what he was saying, and they had no understanding of how he lived and why he lived that way. Okay? Well, let's look down. So here's this blind man, and he said to them, "Herein is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes." Look back, if you would, to, excuse me, where the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You are from below, I am from above." I can't remember where it is. It's right here in John, and I thought I remembered it. But anyhow, let's go back to John 9. So anyhow, he says, "This is an amazing thing. You don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes." So Jesus opening this man's eyes was a work of God. Jesus did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, proving that he was God, proving that he was the Messiah. And yet, the thing that hung them up was the fact that Jesus did it on the Sabbath. Now, it's interesting because as I, in studying for Sunday school, back in Exodus chapter 20, we won't turn there, but you look at the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20, and you have the commandment to keep the Sabbath, and that was right there in the middle. I think it was the fourth commandment or fifth commandment. And it's interesting because if you go back and read it, and it tells us that they were not to do any work on the Sabbath. Because of their blindness, because of their hardness of heart, because of them not having the Holy Spirit, they thought that Jesus spitting on the ground and making mud or clay from that little spittle and anointing that man's eyes was work. That was work. You say, but Jack, that's crazy. Yes. But you know what it is? That's how people read the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Seriously. And if you and I read the Word of God and understand it right, and we believe what God says, you know what that is? That's the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in you. You see, again, King Saul, he had the Word of God, and he sinned. But you know what the difference was? Saul did not repent. Saul murdered people. We don't know anything about his other things in his life. David murdered. He committed adultery. He lied. He did all those things. What was the difference? David repented. Was it because David was a better man? No. It was because God was gracious to David. And he let Saul go his own way and do his own thing. God is always the one who makes a person different. And if that were not the case, then you and I would have something to boast about, wouldn't we? And the Bible says, let him who boasts, what? Boast in the Lord. Okay? So, let's look down then. He says, we know, this is a marvelous thing, that you don't know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now look at, this is some wisdom on the part of this blind man. He says, now we know. Notice the we knows here. Look at verse 29. The religious leaders, they say, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know, or we know not where he is from. And then the man that was blind said, this is an amazing thing that ye know not where he is from. Now he says in verse 31, we know. So he's still, you know, it's kind of a back and forth thing here. He says now, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if any man is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So what's he saying about the Lord Jesus? Well, first of all, he's saying he's not a sinner. I mean, back in verses before there, he said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But his works obviously showed that he was not a sinner. All right? So the man who was blind, he says, if anyone, God does not hear sinners. And then notice he says, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. In other words, he what? Hears his prayer. You know what the man that was blind is doing? He is showing how that Jesus is just the opposite of the people that he was talking to. And he's getting really, really picky here. Go ahead, Mike. Exactly right. That's exactly right. And showing that they are being what?
Hypocrites.
That's exactly right. They're being hypocrites. That's exactly right. Because you see, Jesus was exactly what they claimed to be, but they weren't. And he was. He was not a sinner. They were. He was a worshiper of God, and they weren't. I mean, and they could not do what? They couldn't have healed this guy. They couldn't have healed the guy on a normal day, much less the Sabbath. Okay? And so this blind man, he is really, like you're saying here, Mike, he's revealing their hearts. Okay? And then notice he goes on. He says in verse 32, he says, since the world began, it was not heard that anyone opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. He could not. And that's the word there. He would not be able to. They answered and said to him, you were altogether born in sins. And do you teach us? And they cast him out. In other words, they threw him out of the synagogue. They wouldn't, you know. Now notice that they said, you were altogether born in sins. Now I think that what they're saying here is they're referring to the fact that he was born how? Blind. And so they're saying, the reason, here, what are you doing teaching us? You were born blind. See, again, they are just so angry with this guy that they are not thinking right. But guess what? Proud, self-righteous people who are exposed to the light don't think right. I mean, we don't think right anyhow. I mean, if we're unsaved. But you see the light, the Lord Jesus and his work, and it was an obvious miracle that Jesus did. It was an obvious sign proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. And that it was, anyhow, he was getting too close to home here. All right. So they threw him out of the synagogue. And remember that when they called his parents, they said, well, he's a man. Ask him, because they already knew that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. So that's what they did to this man. All right. There in verse 22, you see that. So look at verse 35. Jesus then heard that they cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, you've both seen him, and it is he who talks with you. That was right now. And look what the man does. He worships him. You know something? The only thing that promotes worship is what? Grace. You see, the law commands us to worship God, doesn't it? But you know what? Only the grace and love of God can enable a sinner to worship God. And that's what happened to you and me, too. The only reason that you and I can worship God is when we see that God loves us and has been gracious to us and has forgiven us. And that's how God works. That's how the gospel works. You see, God overcomes sin and hatred by righteousness and grace, love. And that's what he does. That's what he did to you and me. And he still does that to sinners who are without Christ. See, that's, again, this is what we need to keep in mind when we deal with people that we rub shoulders with. And a lot of times we rub them the wrong way, just like this man who was blind. He was rubbing these guys the wrong way. And I don't think he was doing it maliciously, you know. I mean, I think he was maybe trying to. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's poking at a bear here. They were poking at a bear. Anyhow, but still, though, what we need to keep in mind in our dealings with unsaved people that we deal with, and even with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to do it with an attitude of humble love for them. And again, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to do that. All right, he can enable us to really love others who rub us the wrong way. But anyhow, so this man then, as soon as the Lord Jesus reveals himself to him, tells him who he is, he believes and he worshiped him. And then look what Jesus says. This is really, this is good here. He said, for judgment I have come into this world. And notice for what purpose? So that those who see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. Remember that Jesus' purpose, his main purpose for coming, was not to what? Condemn. But you know what? You know what, though? Here are these men who are self-righteous, and they are rejecting Jesus. And so notice that Jesus says, for this purpose I have come into this world, for judgment, so that those who see might not see. In other words, he's giving them over to judgment. And what we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, is that God, when he's being just, is being that. He's not being mean. God cannot be unjust. When a person dies in their sin, and goes to hell, what are they getting? Justice. Justice. They're getting what they deserve. God doesn't send helpless, hopeless, just I didn't know what was going on type sinners. No. No one dies in their sin because God is having a bad hair day. Yeah, V? Yes. Okay. All right. It kind of clarifies itself as we go down. Okay. But yeah, let's read it. Okay. We'll read it again. He says, for judgment I have come into this world. And notice again, the purpose of his judgment is so that they which see might not see. Okay. That they not see. All right. Now, look down. Well, let's look down at the rest of it. All right. OK, this I think it will clarify what you're saying here, B. All right. Or what you're asking. And some of the Pharisees who were with him, that is with Jesus, heard him say these things. And they said to him, are we blind also? Now, what kind of blindness is Jesus saying that they have? Spiritual blindness. OK, that's obvious. But notice what it says here, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you what? You say, we see. Now, the problem is that, I mean, they are claiming that they can see how? Spiritually. That they are righteous before God, and it's because of their good works, because they are Jews, okay? And Jesus is saying, I came to blind you, to expose who you really are, okay? So in that sense, he came for judgment, so that they who profess to see, it's shown that they're really what? Blind. And that's, I think, what he's saying here. See what I'm saying? Because they say, we see. And he says, well, if you recognize that you couldn't see, you'd be made, you could see. Then you could see. And that's, you see what I'm saying? CCC, all these C's here. Okay? Does that make sense? No, they don't. But they profess to. They think, and they think that they do. They think that they do see. And so Jesus says, I have come to show that you really, what? Don't see. I've come for that. I've come for judgment to show and expose you for really what you really are. And the blind man, what did he recognize? Not just his physical blindness, but he recognized that he could not see. And so Jesus came to expose their pride and in a sense to what? Blind them. Their sin remains, and that's what he says here. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, Mike.
You know, I think it was you that pointed out that when David said, you know, judge me, O Lord, that he was actually saying, show that I'm behaving with knowledge and discretion.
Right, right.
When David said judge me.
Right, well.
You know, in other words, this type of judgment we're talking about is behaving, you know, with knowledge and discretion that God gave.
Right, absolutely, yes. He's asking God, yes. Yeah, yeah, right.
And this is that type of judgment here. There's, you know, one person is behaving, you know, correctly.
Right.
Not.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you see, again, what's the Lord Jesus here teaching us? That righteousness before him is all because of him. It's because of grace. But these Pharisees, some of them, were saying, hey, I don't need you. I don't believe your teaching. So really what the Lord Jesus is doing here is he is exposing that they are blind. If they'd have confessed, look what he goes on to say. Let's look at it again. He says, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore what? Your sin remains. They were professing to be righteous before God without grace or without Christ. And he says, your sin remains. That's right. Exactly. That's right. You see, again, brothers and sisters, you know, all throughout the scriptures, it tells us that we will be judged according to our works. That's important. We'll be judged according to our works. And you know what our works will always show infallibly? Who we trusted as righteousness, for righteousness. Okay? So God, when everyone stands before God and is judged, it will be shown infallibly to everyone, to that individual and to the whole world, that this person was trusting in Christ and they'll be saved, or it will show that they were trusting in themselves and they will get what they deserve, and that will be just. And their works will declare. They're, you know, people will say, well, look at my works. Look at my works. And God says, yes, let's look at your works. Because what does God know about everything that we do? He knows why we do it and how we do it. And if I do anything self-confidently, I'm seeking my glory. And what is it? Sin. And God knows that. And he knows it even sometimes when we don't. And that, again, all the whole Bible is just throwing us back onto God for mercy and grace. And that's what we need. Okay? He opposes the proud, doesn't he? But he gives grace to the humble. And here is an opportunity, even for these religious leaders, to humbly realize, wow. I mean, think of the mercy here that God was showing even to these guys. Jesus came. He did an obvious miracle. And they willfully said no to Jesus. And that's why he says, I came for judgment. Okay? Man's got a will. Every man has a will. The question is it free? Are you free to love God and to trust God and to cling to Christ? Well, if you've been born again, it's free. But if not, your will is bound by your unbelief. And it's yours. I mean, I say yours. You know what I mean? That's the condition of everyone left to themselves. Okay? Yeah, Judah? Yeah. Right. And I don't want her to, because I'm kind of have to point her to Christ, and she doesn't want me to, but Christ is the one who can soften the heart of our neighbors.
Amen. That's right. But you see, again, yeah, have you ever noticed that? If you start talking to somebody about Christ, like Judah is saying, and it's just amazing how things come up where they don't want to hear. I mean, it's convenient that, oh, the phone rang, or, I mean, I have that happen to me a lot, you know. And I think it's not, anyhow, you know what I'm saying. It's people trying to hide. And that's what we see. Well, let's look down just a little bit further, all right, and we'll be done here. Okay, notice he said, let's look at chapter 10 there. Now, what I want us to see here is notice he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you,
He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, what I want us to see here is he says, verily, verily, I say to you. Who are the you here? There's a chapter division and verse division. Who are the you that he's talking to? The Pharisees, some of the Pharisees. Okay? So he's still speaking here to people who are darkness, who are not sheep. And he says to them, he that goes, doesn't come into the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, is a thief and a robber. So what's he saying to these people who are still blind? He's saying they are thieves and robbers. Okay? Then notice he continues on. He says, but he that enters in other words, in the sheepfold, by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, he's changing things around a little bit here. But no, who is he speaking of here as the one who is the shepherd of the sheep? Speaking of himself. So he's really contrasting himself with these false sheep. All right? Now, these people profess to be sheep, but they also profess to be what? Teachers. That's who Jesus was and is. He is the teacher. He is the shepherd. And here are these people who profess to be sheep, and they profess to be teachers of the law. And yet they don't believe the law, and they don't have God. And Jesus is exposing them. So he continues saying here, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you who ask me, are we blind? And he says, your sin remains. Because you say, we see. So he says to them, whoever enters the by the door into the sheepfold, or whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, he's a thief and a robber. So that's what he is accusing these people of being, thieves and robbers. In other words, they're not shepherds. They're not teaching the sheep, who would they would consider themselves as teachers. They're not teaching the people that they consider entrusted to their care. Right. They're thieves and robbers, and they do not know God. Do we see any connection to our day? Yeah, we do. We do all over the place. There are lots of people who are getting up into pulpits and teaching people, and they're not teaching the truth. They're thieves and robbers. They do not know God. And it goes on all the time. But notice, again, the contrast. He says here in verse 2, but the one who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or the doorkeeper opens. And then notice the response. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So in other words, who is a real sheep in this passage here that we've been looking at? Who is a real sheep?
The blind man.
He was blind, but God opened his eyes. And when he says, the Lord Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of God? And Jesus says, you've seen him. You are seeing him right now. And I'm the one speaking to you. And he says, Lord, what? I believe. I believe. He was a sheep. Who were not sheep? The religious leaders who claimed to be sheep. They claimed to be shepherds. And yet the Lord Jesus, notice again, notice what he says here. He says to the shepherd, to the true teacher, the porter or the doorkeeper, a sheepfold was this enclosure like, didn't have a roof on it, But it was there'd be different flocks in this one sheepfold, this enclosure to protect the sheep. There'd be different flocks, and so there'd be different shepherds. So what they would do is they'd have somebody that they hired to guard the door to the sheepfold that had different flocks in it. And then when the shepherd would come to the door, he'd call out his sheep. And the sheep, his flock, his flock that was in the sheepfold, would recognize his voice, and they'd do what? They'd follow him. They'd follow him. But if they didn't recognize the shepherd's voice, they didn't follow him. You see, hearing the shepherd's voice proved that they were sheep. It didn't make them one, in a sense, if you follow what I'm saying. The fact that they were sheep showed who their shepherd was. Okay? Showed that they were true believers in the Lord Jesus. Okay? Notice it says here, the sheep hear his voice. And whose voice weren't they hearing? These false teachers. They weren't hearing Jesus' voice. That's right. He did a miracle that was an obvious miracle, and he was speaking the words of God, and they didn't hear. Was it the fault of Jesus? No. Was it the fault of his message? Was it the fault of what he did? No. The fault was in the people. They didn't hear his voice. Why? Listen, because they weren't sheep. They weren't sheep. When you hear the voice of God, the scriptures, and you understand what God says and believe what God says, that shows that you've been what? Born again. Shows that you're regenerate. Shows that you're a what? A sheep. One of God's sheep. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray. Okay? Father, we thank you again for your grace. We thank you for opening our eyes. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for giving us understanding. We thank you that you have made us sheep. We are the sheep of your pasture, the work of your hands. You've done it to us, Father, and we thank you and praise you for it. Oh God, thank you for saving us, for delivering us from our own unbelief and our pride, and for making us your children. We praise you in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.